To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, September 23rd. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. The Federal Reserve's intent to keep interest rates near zero for the next several years might make it seem like the perfect time to borrow money or refinance, but it can present a difficult set of choices for consumers.
So if you're thinking about what this would look like in someone's individual life, they might be able to take advantage of a super low mortgage rate, but they might then be forestalled when it comes to refinancing because banks are actually pricing refinancing higher than they are for new mortgage originations. Or they might be getting a new credit card offer. We're seeing those rebound, but they might be considering delaying retirement because the interest they're going to be earning on that saved income won't be as high as previously thought.
Our personal finance reporter, Julia Carpenter, will talk about how to think long term when it comes to super low interest rates. That's after the break.
Business Wars' newest season is all about pizza, as they explore the Domino's versus Pizza Hut rivalry and the special sauce that makes these global brands so successful. Pizza Hut and Domino's both started as small shops in the heartland of America, but when their businesses began to rise, they inspired a whole host of competitors to join the market, forcing both companies to innovate at a rapid pace. From competing home delivery models to direct pricing wars, Domino's and Pizza Hut have consistently led the way of a $100 billion industry. So which do you prefer, Pizza Hut or Domino's? Listen to the newest season of Business Wars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or listen ad-free on the Wondery app.
Interest rates hovering near zero for the foreseeable future is good news for Wall Street, but on Main Street, it means different things for different people. Personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter is here to discuss why consumers should think long-term about low rates. So first of all, Julia, probably the most prominent effect of low rates so far is near-record low mortgage rates. Should that be enough for people to go out and buy a house?
I spoke with Mike Frattantoni. He's the chief economist at the Mortgage Bankers Association, and I think he said something really insightful, which is that he would never encourage someone to rush out and buy a home just because rates are low. This, he said, is more of a prompt for people who've already been considering purchasing a home, and this is going to be the kind of thing that pushes them to make that decision or to say, all right, this is our time when we've already had our ducks in a row.
So low rates should be more of, you know, a starting point?
Absolutely. And some people may have already been thinking, you know, we have pretty much everything we need together. We're just waiting for when the time is right. And this is a sign for a lot of people that that right time is now.
You know, the saying goes, cash is king. But anybody who's looked at their bank statement knows that these low rates can almost be, you know, almost be like a penalty for saving money.
Definitely. Something I learned when reporting this story is that this is a scary time for retirees, people who've been relying on interest income. They're looking at all of that money in savings and thinking, is this going to be working for me as hard as I had expected it to? Things like 529 education accounts, savings accounts, retirement savings vehicles, those are going to be yielding far less now, likely producing less income. I spoke with one expert, Greg McBride. He's the chief financial analyst at Bankrate, and he said that for some retirees, this is equivalent to getting both feet stomped on and then kicked in the knee. And that kick in the knee is the interest income.
Yikes, that sounds kind of painful. But, you know, the recession might lead people to consider delaying milestones in life, including retirement. That's something that should not be taken lightly.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's discouraging for many people who are considering delaying retirement or potentially postponing some really important money milestones. But also it means that these should be considered really carefully. I spoke with one expert who said that there's trade-offs to all of these things. So if you're delaying education, for example, delaying saving for education, then that means you're going to be getting your degree later. And you have to be thinking about what that means when you get your degree later. Same with delaying retirement. There's a lot of benefits to delaying retirement, but you have to make sure you're prepared to work longer and make sure you're prepared for that savings.
And things get a little tricky if you have a student loan that you're paying off.
I spoke with a lot of people who were very excited about the prospect of refinancing their student loans. When they saw this announcement from the Fed, they immediately thought, great, this is great news for my student loan. It actually means really different things for federal student loans versus private student loans. So if there's a great opportunity to be had with the private student loan, that's great. You can figure out what kind of interest rate you could get. That's all dependent on your credit score. So if you have a great credit score, you're likely to get a greater rate, and you would just have to make sure you're a good candidate for that refinancing. But with federal loans, consolidating them or making other changes to them can be especially tricky right now, because a lot of people are taking advantage of the student loan forbearance that's been provided through the CARES Act. So people can be deferring these payments until December 31st, and making any changes to that loan to take advantage of these rates could potentially pull you out of forbearance. So again, it's that really tricky trade-off. Is it worth it for you to lock in that lower rate to refinance if it means you're then going to be paying the student loans when you've made the decision to temporarily stop payments because you're facing some sort of financial hardship as a result of COVID-19?
So doing nothing could be the wise thing.
Depending on the person, yeah, I know that sounds odd. I think a lot of people don't want to miss out on a great opportunity, but doing nothing right now, if you've made that decision to go into forbearance, for example, and that's kind of your lifeline right now, doing nothing is the smart move.
You know, the one thing that is certain in this economic environment is uncertainty. And it sounds like the best advice here is to take a step back and gauge all your assets and your holdings before making any moves.
Absolutely. We're still in a pandemic. We're still in a recession. If anything, I think the last few months have shown people what value there is in having easily accessible, readily available emergency funds. So playing with that more, taking more risks, that can be the temptation when we have really low rates. But the downside is then you're not going to have that money available should another calamity strike. So if you're thinking about what this would look like in someone's individual life, they might be able to take advantage of a super low mortgage rate, but they might then be forestalled when it comes to refinancing because banks are actually pricing refinancing higher than they are for new mortgage originations. They might be refinancing their own student loans but delaying saving money in a 529. Or they might be getting a new credit card offer. We're seeing those rebound. But they might be considering delaying retirement because the interest they're going to be earning on that saved income won't be as high as previously thought.
And yeah, the Fed has said it intends to keep rates near zero for about 3 years. Should that be taken as a hard number?
I think the key thing is near zero. If we look at the last recession, we saw that rates stayed near zero for a while. They would sometimes move from 0.16 to 0.25, but they were very near zero. And we shouldn't be taking the till 2023 as a hard number either. In the last recession, we saw rates stay near zero until 2015. So that's almost 7 years of incredibly low rates.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter. Julia, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.